You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
Hello and welcome to Crowdfunders, the Share Radio show that covers peer-to-peer lending and all other forms of crowdfunding. My name's Ed Bauscher, and there's no doubt that this week's biggest news is that the FCA, or Financial Conduct Authority, wants to toughen the regulations for the crowdfunding industry. We'll be getting views from two observers of the industry in today's show on that news. And on top of that, I'll be interviewing the boss of a peer-to-peer platform that has branches on several high streets. It's called Folk to Folk, and it's just won approval to launch an innovative finance ISA product. I'm also going to speak to a gentleman called Ben Warren from Big Society Capital, which is launching a crowd match fund. This means that Big Society will provide extra cash for community projects that are raising money on some crowdfunding platforms.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
So the Financial Conduct Authority, or FCA, has said that tougher rules are needed to protect investors in crowdfunding. And this potentially applies to people lending on peer-to-peer platforms, lending to other businesses or individuals. And it also applies to people investing on equity crowdfunding platforms, people like Crowdcube or Seeders, where you're buying shares in young or small businesses. To talk about this some more, I'm joined on the phone now by Mike Gordon, who is the technical director at Rutherford Wilkinson, a firm of chartered financial planners. Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
So why has the FCA done this review?
Part of the reason for the being for the FCA, if you like, is firstly to protect consumers, both investors and borrowers, but also to promote effective competition. So this falls right into the middle of that remit. It's a brand new area, or a very young area, and they want to ensure that it develops in a way which will both promote competition with traditional bank lending and also provide new investment options for those people who are currently getting virtually no return at all from their deposit returns.
And one of the issues, isn't it, that the FCA's looked at some of the peer-to-peer lending platforms, and there are perhaps concerns that if those lending platforms hit trouble, maybe that some of the lenders wouldn't get all their money back. Is that one of the concerns that are there, that they're concerned about?
That's certainly one of the concerns, yeah, because obviously it's not like giving your money to the bank and they then lend it out to borrowers. It's far less transparent, and what they're concerned about is that someone might not appreciate that their money is being lent to somebody over a five-year period, and they might not be able to get that money back until that period is up. Equally, if that person that the money has been lent to isn't as creditworthy as you would hope they would be, they're also concerned that the platform, the crowdfunding or peer-to-peer lending platform, has done the correct underwriting on that individual, which the investor may not be aware of, and maybe they don't realise how much risk is actually attached to that. Whereas where your money's lent through a bank, you have a certain buffer there on the rules that are applied to the banks.
Now, we've had the Innovative Finance ISA that is just sort of being launched at the moment. More platforms are getting the approval to launch the ISA on their platforms. Investors may be able to get as much as 6 to 8% lending money within these ISAs. Do you think that's going to get more people lending on the peer-to-peer platforms, and are more people going to start lending money without necessarily understanding the risks that they're taking?
I think there's definitely a concern, and this is something, one of the things that have come out in the FCA's review here, is that people may be used to ISAs and they assume that it's on a similar basis to an ISA where your deposit is protected and covered by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, which isn't the case under these new innovative finance ISAs. So there's definitely an awareness at the FCA that people may be drawn by the ISA brand, but possibly not fully appreciate the risks involved, because it definitely isn't the same. Now, there are definite drawbacks with the protection for investors under the Innovative Finance ISA.
And what about Zopa? They said a few days ago that they weren't, at least temporarily, weren't going to take any more money from new lenders. And that suggests that, you know, maybe too many people have been coming on the platforms trying to lend. Does that mean there's a danger perhaps that some of the platforms will allow loans to be made where the borrowers are really very high risk? Is that something that worries you as well?
It's a concern, but then is that not a good thing that all they've done is temporarily say, look, it's the period just before Christmas, which is not when these projects that we're lending money to generally are going ahead quite as much as normal, and therefore we're possibly just putting a little bit of the suspension, and we're making sure that we have somewhere to actually lend your money to without lowering our standards. So that could be interpreted as a good thing or a bad thing. You possibly might say Zopa have done that, they're the market leader. Have the other companies not done that for some other reason? It's always going to be a concern with these smaller types of platforms. If the right people aren't coming along to match the investors to the loans, then that mismatch could end up in difficulties.
Mike Gordon, Technical Director at Rutherford Wilkinson, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Well, for more on this, Steve Clark spoke to James Hurley, Enterprise Editor at The Times. Steve began by asking James for his take on the FCA's proposals.
Reading between the lines on this, the overarching concern seems to be that these platforms have drifted a long way from where they started, which were quite simple platforms, really, which just wanted to link investors directly up with borrowers. Now, as time has gone on, they've kind of they're becoming, I guess, pseudo-banking businesses, and this is what the Financial Conduct Authority is particularly worried about. They fear that essentially that these platforms are benefiting from a loophole whereby they don't have to get regulated as a bank or a collective investment scheme would, but they are essentially performing some very similar functions, and that some big risks might be being stored up in these businesses.
Yeah, the FCA says it's difficult for investors to understand the risks. I just wonder if that's a bit patronising, though. Surely people can assess risks if they take enough effort to do so.
I think people are sensible enough to assess risks, but at the same time, I think it's fair that the Financial Conduct Authority expresses concern here, because what these platforms shouldn't be doing is marketing themselves as similar to savings, effectively bank savings, and that is happening. And also there's imperfect information, so there may be information that they know about certain loans that are offered, or indeed equity opportunities that are offered that are not disclosed to the investors. So an investor can only make an assessment of risk where they've got the right information. And I would argue there are certainly situations, both in terms of the loan-based and the equity-based platforms, where the information isn't right and the disclosure isn't good enough. And that seems to be the issue that the FCA are talking about, rather than sort of patronising investors and saying that they're sort of too stupid to understand what they're investing in.
And another thing they're concerned about, they say there's no protection for the money. Is that right? You know, you're really on your own recognizance here when you put money into platforms like this.
Well, that's right. And again, I think it's a disclosure issue that the FCA is worried about. You know, do people understand that there's no protection? And there's kind of another slightly more subtle point here, that to kind of give an impression of safety, a lot of the peer-to-peer platforms have set up these things called provision funds, which is basically some money set aside to pay out and offer a bit of protection should some loans default. Now, you know, on the face of it, you might think the FCA would be quite happy about that, but quite the opposite. Again, they think that some of these provision fund activities are taking these platforms into the direction of being more bank-like operations, and that they're giving the wrong impression of low risk. I think the FCA would be a lot happier if the disclosures were saying how high risk some of this stuff is, and that investors could understand that, rather than, you know, trying to make it that there's no risk. Because I don't think any of us want to do is get into a situation where investors aren't allowed to take risk.
James Hurley, Enterprise Editor at The Times there, speaking to Steve Clark about why the FCA wants to tighten up regulation on the crowdfunding sector. After the break, I'll be speaking to Ben Warren from Big Society Capital.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
Let's now turn to the CrowdMatch Fund that's being launched by Big Society Capital. Earlier today, I spoke to Ben Warren from Big Society to find out more about this fund. And I began the interview by asking Ben what Big Society Capital actually does.
Big Society Capital is an independent financial institution, and we have a social mission. And we were set up to develop social investment in the UK. So our mission really is to make it easier for charities and social enterprises to access appropriate and affordable repayable finance.
Now, you've just launched this Crowd Match Fund, which I think is trying to sort of bring crowdfunding. You're starting to use crowdfunding as part of your offer. So can you tell us more about this Crowd Match Fund and how it works?
Sure. So the Crowd Match Fund will see big society capital match investments made by individuals on crowdfunding platforms into charities and social enterprises. And it'll be a £10 million fund that will match debt and equity investments into organisations that are eligible for social investment tax relief. And we will be working with three platforms to do this, and those are Essex, Crowdfunder and Community Chest.
So if I'm raising money on the Community Chest platform for some sort of local community project, if we raise £100,000 on Community Chest, your Crowd Match Fund will come in and add £100,000 more on top. Is that, have I understood that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. So it would go through the normal process, the usual process for raising finance on the Community Chest platform. But if it was an investment that was eligible and hit the criteria for the match fund, then we would match alongside that investment from you.
So what are some of the criteria to ensure eligibility to get money from your Crowd Match Fund?
So one of the key criteria is around eligibility for social investment tax relief, which is an EIS-style tax relief for social organisations. So you would have to be a regulated social organisation. And what I mean by that is it has to be an asset-locked social body, and that can include charity or a community interest company or a BenCom.
A BenCom? What's a BenCom?
A BenCom. A BenCom is a community benefit society.
Ah, right. Okay. So, and tell us also a bit about social interest tax relief. How does that work?
Social investment tax relief is very similar to an EIS-style relief, but for social organisations. So it is a 30% relief on investments made into eligible organisations. And really it was introduced by the government a few years ago to try and level the playing field for individuals who are looking to invest for social as well as a financial return.
So what kind of projects are you expecting might be benefiting from your Crowd Match Fund?
Yeah, it's something that we're really excited about, to see the range and the breadth of projects that will be coming through the fund. So each of the platforms that we work with will go out to market and seek organisations that will raise funding through this match fund. So these could be organisations that work on local community projects, they could be education-based charities, or they could be healthcare organisations. So really it's for us to wait and see.
And where does Big Society Capital get its cash to invest in these projects?
Yeah, so Big Society Capital has two sources of finance. So we have £600 million in total, £400 million from dormant bank accounts in the UK, and £200 million come from the Merlin Agreement, and £50 million from each of the big four banks.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. I do hope this Crowd Match Fund works well and supports lots of great projects around the UK. So, Ben, thanks very much for joining us today.
Fantastic. Thanks very much.
Another site has now gained approval to launch an innovative finance ISA very soon. The site is called Folk to Folk, and I'm now going to speak to the chief executive of Folk to Folk, Jane Dumerick, who's going to tell us a bit more about this story. So, Jane, thanks very much for joining us on Share Radio today.
Ed, well, thank you very much for inviting me.
Good to have you. So let's just start briefly. What is Folk to Folk?
Folk to Folk is a national peer-to-peer lending platform. And basically what we do is we match local businesses to local investors.
Okay, now this story about the innovative finance ISA, we've been talking about it a fair bit over the last few weeks, but for any listeners who don't know about it, why has the approval process taken so long across the board for this ISA? What's the regulatory process involved so that still the majority of sites don't have approval to launch the ISA?
Right. Well, Ed, I think it's been frustrating for a number of us platforms. I mean, what has happened in the whole process is back in 2014, platforms were issued something called interim permissions. And then we were requested in 2015 to put in a full application with the expectation that we would all be given permissions in 2016, obviously to tie in with the then announced Innovative Finance ISA. It's been, I think, fairly complicated for the FCA because the whole concept of crowdfunding is a very, very wide criteria. You have people like ourselves who are one end of the scale who do secured business loans, and you have people on the other end that do unsecured business loans. And of course, in the bigger world, you've got the crowdfunding that do equity investments. So it is a very, very wide platform. And I think when the FCA originally envisaged the whole process, they didn't realize how different each model would be. And that's what's really, I think, caused the difficulty, because the FCA are very keen to make sure they protect the public, as are we, and they want to really understand everybody's model, and that's been quite complicated for them. And you know, as you say, we have been fortunate. Our model is simple and transparent, and therefore we have been delighted that we have been given full authorisation.
Well, congratulations for that, Jane. So when does that mean you can actually launch an innovative finance ISA for folk to folk?
Well, what we have to do first is we then have to go to HMRC and get an ISA manager permissions, which is what we're in the process of doing. And then it's a matter of going through our own internal processes. Now, what we're doing is we're trying to look at our existing products and ensure that we offer the best product for the particular ISA. Obviously, what we want to do is make sure that we protect our investors in this case and in all cases. And therefore, there is a process to be gone through. I would like to say that we are looking and targeting to be able to offer the Innovative Finance ISA within this tax year, but it will probably be at the end of the tax year. It'll be closer to the March timetable as opposed to doing it immediately, because we want to make sure we get the product absolutely right.
But the good news is, once you've launched it, I will be able to lend money on your platform and put that loan or investment within an ISA wrapper. So I don't have to, or I benefit hugely in terms of less tax being paid. That's correct, isn't it?
That is correct. The one caveat I would say is that in our case, as a platform, historically, we have a minimum of a 25,000 investment level for our investors. In the case of the ISA, we are bringing it down to 15,000 for the 16-17 ISA, and it'll be back to 20,000 for the 17-18 ISA. So we're bringing our level down to enable ISAs to participate, but it would mean that in the case of an investor, they would need to put their full allowance into our particular product, because we tend to look at the high net worth individuals as the customers we look after.
Well, let's talk a bit more about what your platform does. So you're serving high net worth customers who are then lending to what kind of businesses are they lending to?
They're lending to small businesses. We have quite a variety. We are very much a sort of rural lender, and therefore a lot of the businesses tend to be agriculture, tourism, leisure, people with land, because we only offer products that are secured on land or buildings. It means that we tend to be in areas that aren't the urban concentrations of a lot of other on the platform. We also are very unusual in the fact that we, not just online, we actually have branches, high street presence, where the investor can come and talk face to face with somebody. We don't give advice, but we give information. So that enables the investor to learn a lot more about where their money is going. And in our business, the investor gets the choice of looking at geographical area, looking at sector type. So you could go in and say, actually, I want to lend to farmers in Gloucestershire, and we would mark that down, and we would be able to match you with farmers in Gloucestershire. So you get visibility of your money, which is what we find our customers really like. They get a good return, they get security, and they get visibility of where their money goes, quite often helping businesses in the local community. They could drive past the local swimming pool and seeing it being put together. They could drive past the local hotel or pub and see the work being done there, and knowing they were part of that transformation.
But doesn't running high street shops boost your costs quite a bit?
It would if we went into the big cities or the urban areas, but going into the market towns, and selecting some good locations, and I have to say we've got some fabulous ex-bank staff, is definitely affordable. It's an extension of our marketing spend. A lot of the other platforms have advertised on sides of buses or in London Underground. We choose to advertise by putting branches in local communities where we provide an additional service.
And what sort of rates can lenders or investors get on your platform?
Well, we have a very simple product, and our rates are 6.5% or 5.5%. The 6.5% product is based on loans where the minimum loan to maximum loan to value is 60%, and the 5.5% is where the maximum loan to value is 50%, i.e. if there is more security, you have a lower rate. And we do that throughout. The way we look at our loans is we have a borrower who comes to us.
Is that interest rate what the borrower pays or what the lender receives?
It's both. So our model is the borrower pays 5.5% or 6.5% direct to the lender, and then we take a fee from the borrower. So the money from the interest goes straight through direct to the lender.
So that's a bit different from some of the other peer-to-peer sites, I think.
It is, and it makes it quite transparent, and that I think is where probably the FCA have found our model easier to follow. What is also interesting about our model is the reason I say we have very simple interest rates is we don't take a look at a borrower. If they come to us and they say they've got this transaction to do, we look at whether they've got good value security, we look at whether they've got a strong reputation in the marketplace, we look at their financial credibility. And if they are not good enough, we don't just say we'll charge an extra 2%. We simply say, I'm afraid we cannot do that deal. We don't believe putting a higher interest rate makes a bad loan good. And therefore, we only do loans that we consider good that fit our criteria.
So what are the fees you charge then, as well as the interest rates?
To the borrower, we charge a 2% introduction fee and then a 1% annual fee.
And that's it? There's no charges to the lender has to pay?
No charges that the lender has to pay. Clearly, when we introduce Innovative Finance ISA, we will need to put in some administrative charges for that because that is additional work with the tax implications, etc. So there will be a fee, which we are currently working on and will announce when we put in place the Innovative Finance ISA. But if you're a straight lender, there are no fees at all.
And as you said at the beginning, the minimum lending amount is higher on your platform than many of your rivals. In the medium term, do you think you might cut that minimum size, that minimum loan size?
Well, we'll certainly look to cut it, as I said, for the ISA, because we felt it was it would be a shame not to offer that. But no, I think other than that, we will probably keep it at this level because we feel that the investment being made is really important, that the investor understands it. Most of our customers are retired individuals. They've worked hard to gain their money. They're looking to get a better return than they get in the bank. They are intelligent and understand the product offering, and therefore putting a minimum of $25,000 does work really quite well for them.
Jane Demerick from Folk to Folk, thanks very much for joining us today.
And that's all we've got. Thank you very much, Ed.
And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Crowdfunders. I'll be back again next week at the same time. I hope you can join me then.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.